This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 66, where AC and I are going to talk about all the latest cloud news, recorded live February 4th, 2015.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Hey, good morning, AC.
How are you doing, CJ?
You were laughing because you just completely balked up our count on the intro, didn't you?
Yeah, we normally do. Was it? So one of us does the 1, 2, 3, the next person does 4, 5, 6, and then here's a little bit of behind the scenes for folks. Yeah, we do this to, CJ's always over in Redmond or I guess wherever you live, Woodinville or something like that.
Yeah, Seattle area.
And then I'm in Northeast Florida in St. John's near Jacksonville. And so we do the whole thing over Skype. And one of us does a 1, 2, 3, the next person does a 4, 5, 6, and then together, the person who's hosting the show does 7, 8, 9, and the guest, who's me today, is supposed to match my cadence with you so that when we go to marry our two audio tracks together, we know right where they are, and I fell asleep on the 7, 8, 9.
That's okay. Hey, should we start again?
I think we're good.
Hey, AC, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing just fine, CJ. How are you? 7, 8, 9.
Pretty good, thanks, buddy. Pretty good.
It's been a while.
I know. It's been a couple of weeks. In fact, didn't we just miss a week?
Well, I wouldn't say we missed it, because if we say we missed it, then we really did miss it. I think it was we elected to punt an episode this past week. You had challenges because you were gallivanting over the Western Hemisphere.
Yes, I was in Mexico and Brazil.
There was one cool thing about that trip. The picture.
Oh, yes. So for all of those Formula One fans or anybody who knows what Formula One is, which I hope there's a few of you on the show, may know that I'm a bit of a fan and AC is a bit of a fan of the F1. And I went and visited Ayrton Senna's grave in Sao Paulo, who's like, you know, I guess what the right word is, like the king of Formula One, or was the king of Formula One until he passed away. So
yeah,
that was a bit of a pilgrimage for me. And It was nice. Go pay my respects.
Yeah, wasn't just a passing away. He was killed during a race. So
yes. And actually, here's a fun fact: nobody has died in a Formula One race since then.
No, I thought we were going to get close this year, unfortunately, but not really. We're good.
Yeah, well, people have come very close, but fortunately, that hasn't transpired.
I'm not quite dead.
Hey, so what else has been going on?
So then you were doing that 2 weeks ago, and then last week I had a bunch of stuff going on, and we had two times that we tried to schedule it, and I know that we had just complete, it just didn't work. I've been having some problems. I had to go to a chiropractor and stuff, and it was like, scheduling didn't work. So to all of our loyal listeners, sorry about that. We elected not to race through a show, and we elected to not try and race the production of a show this week. Today is what, Wednesday, February the 4th, and we were going to try and record on Monday and do two shows this week. One that would release this week and produce it in just 24 hours. And while our guy could do it that does other productions, you and I weren't ready to go through and get the content done and everything. So it just wasn't going to work, but it's all good. So anyway, thanks for sticking around.
Yeah. No, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
So a couple of bits of news on my side. I have gone back from an electric car to a petrol car. Hey, steady on. I'm trying to do my thing. You know, I want to get my citizenship at some point, and driving around an electric car is not going to help me with that. So I thought, now was the time. So my lease was up on my Leaf, and I'm back to a fire-breathing monster of a petrol car.
Did you get Tom Brady's pickup that he's not going to use?
I hate to ask why he's not going to use the pickup.
Well, because he has like an R8, he's got a Rolls, all these different cars that he's not a pickup guy. And so, he's married too, he's not a pickup guy. But anyway.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I picked up an old Audi S4.
Those are fun.
Super fun to drive, and yeah, I'm really enjoying it.
Speaking of cars, have you seen the video going around of the Tesla, the 85D, the new dual motor one of the 0 to 60 or 0 to 75, the explicit version?
Oh yeah, that video is really amazing.
Yeah. Like,
it's incredible how fast those things accelerate. Speaking of Tesla, I went and saw Elon Musk in Seattle when he came to do the announcement about opening the satellite division for SpaceX in Seattle, and got to see the Dragon capsule. I think it was the second Dragon. but it was the first one to dock with ISS. So that was like total geekgasm for me.
That was pretty cool. You got to see the one and only true life Tony Stark.
Oh, and it's really hilarious. Like, the thing was closed off to the press, and my impression of why is because the guy is a complete nerd. Mm-hmm. There's zero filter. There's no media filter on this dude, right? He just says it what he thinks, and it just comes out unfiltered. It's not particularly socially tuned in, you know, like, it's not ultra charismatic, I guess. He gets away with a lot of it because he's like, super, super intelligent and just incredible brainiac. But he's not like a Tony Stark in terms of the charisma side of things.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. My dad is like old school, like he's banker, financial side and everything. And so we're talking about Tesla, and I tell him how cool it is and how much I like the car and everything. And he turns around, he's always like saying how bad they are because, you know, they're how much money they have to churn up to be able to turn profitable and this kind of stuff. And it's like, no, the company is healthy. They're good. And he's like, yeah, did you hear so they're talking about what the auto show recently when he was, I think it was General Motors, talked about their new electric car that's going to be $35,000 with subsidies.
Oh, yeah.
And then Tony Stark.
Tony Stark.
And then Elon Musk, he said his quote was, well, we're going to have one that's $30,000 without incentives. So we're moving in the better direction. So I'm talking to my dad and I'm like, going, yeah, you see this, you know, it's really cool. And he goes, yeah, but he's an idiot. I'm like, why is he an idiot? He goes, did you hear he just said something about somebody asked him a question? He goes, yeah, but we're not planning to be profitable until 2020. He goes, can you imagine all those stockholders, all the stock just went down? And I'm like, I don't give a crap about the stock. This is a good company. Yeah. It's a healthy company. It's
investing.
Yeah, Wall Street doesn't understand. Yeah, I know you were reading it too. I was talking about Peter Thiel's book, The Zero to One.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And about how the concept of how valuations for, like, valuations of companies, new age companies, and how it differs from so much the way Wall Street does stuff. And that's like, it's like my dad and myself. It's like, we don't see things eye to eye. And it's like, yeah, these guys are dumb. And I'm like, I don't think you get it. It's like, yeah, but Microsoft's stuff. Like, I don't think you get it.
Elon had a really funny call. He said, somebody asked, when is SpaceX going to go public? And he said, hopefully never. And he said, oh, you know, we don't need the money. We're really healthy. And the only additional thing that going public brings is a whole lot of scrutiny, bureaucracy, and BS that we don't need.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really funny.
Yeah, I talked about stuff with, and it was Apple's numbers they posted recently. And he's like, yeah, they should go through and do a big dividend. I'm like, screw that. They should use that to really invest in some cool new thing. He's like, yeah, but the stockholders need this. I'm like, I don't give a crap about the stock.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, speaking of news, I guess financial news, it's kind of that time of the year, and Microsoft came out with their financial results a little while back. And I think it's fair to say that was a pretty fair result. What did you think?
I was impressed. I was mostly impressed by the fact that they're turning a profit with Surface. I mean, the cloud stuff, explosion, but in terms of a good...
Hold on a second. It says revenue of $1.1 billion.
Ah, sorry.
I don't know how much profit that makes because it's not disclosed in the thing.
You're right. I apologize. I shouldn't have said it like that. It's more that I'm impressed at the growth of the Surface and hardware business from year to year.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen, you go to any conference that's like a business conference today, and I am really surprised at how many Surface 3 Pros I see on the desktops.
It's a good machine. No, I agree. I think they were saying up 24%, which is pretty decent little business. $1.1 billion. My goodness.
Puts a smile on Satya's face.
Yeah. The other one that I was... happy to see announced was Office 365 home and personal subscribers up to over 9.2 million, 30% over the previous quarter. Which, so for those of you who don't understand the Office 365 SKU strategy, which I wouldn't blame you for, Office 365 home and personal is Office that you normally know and love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Word, Excel, PowerPoint, all of that sort of stuff. But you can buy it on subscription. And home and personal is kind of the home and personal edition.
Thanks for clearing that part up.
for personal use. But yeah, it's like a subscription-based thing. And I think it starts at like less than $100 a year, like $70 a year. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's very affordable for Office for what we used to pay.
Yeah, especially in considering you used to have to pay, you know, like $300 or something, $400 or something like that. And now you go to sort of a less than $100 a year subscription and get all the latest updates and all that. So that's growing pretty healthily, up 30% over previous quarter. I thought that was fascinating. And the other one that really interested me, obviously, was the commercial cloud revenue, which I think we are all interested in, which grew, according to the press release here, 114% driven by Office 365, Azure, and Dynamics CRM Online, and is now on an annualized revenue run rate of $5.5 billion. That is not a drop in the bucket.
No, that is that. No, it's not. And that's really cool to see that kind of a number. I would be really curious. I know Amazon doesn't split this out on their numbers. I'd be really curious to see what AWS does.
Yeah.
There's been theories that it's anywhere from 3 to 9 billion for AWS. So I'd be really, really curious to see what, and that's a huge range. I get that. But
what's 6 billion between friends?
Billion here, billion there, right? I'm only talking about a factor of 300% difference, but neither here nor there. But yeah.
That would be fascinating. I'm in this space, right? Where we work in this stuff in Office 365 every day, and it's good to see the pickup.
Not only that, but I know this wasn't on our little agenda to say things, to talk about what we're going to talk about in our episode today. But I think the other thing too that was just really cool is about the same time, that's when you guys had your big Windows 10 event, and seeing something like HoloLens generate the cross tech world interest.
Yeah.
And I didn't see a ounce of negative press about it. I saw people just like, I get this is really, being over sensationalist, but seeing a company like Engadget, or I think it was Gizmodo, one of the two, said, when did Apple start becoming the boring one?
Yeah, that was a fascinating article. Yeah.
I think, it's too early to say that kind of stuff, but there's rumors that this thing's going to be, I know nothing about NDA, you don't have to comment on this, but there's rumors that HoloLens is going to be out in June.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So in June, and then there's a little conference in April over in San Francisco that everybody's like, oh, I want a HoloLens. I'm like,
wouldn't that be sweet?
Yeah.
That would be a pretty badass Oprah moment.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's nice. I kind of like the HoloLens. I went to go to university to study architecture and design. And so as soon as I saw that, I was like, this is going to change architects and designers' lives. Like being able to visualize their buildings and their creations in 3D for their customers right in front of them. It's crazy.
Well, that, and then, people started saying, what about the consumer side? That really sucks for consumer. It's not very interesting. But it's funny to hear that, because to me, when I looked at this, the first thing that I saw the HoloLens that was interesting is science, lab, engineering, business. I mean, the stuff that they did with JPL and being able to visualize what's going on the Mars surface, and the collaboration, that is, to me, that's the interesting stuff with this.
Yeah, I think the possibilities for this thing are endless. I just keep thinking about it and it just keeps boggling my brain, like what's possible.
I need to go back and find the video. There's an advertisement that Microsoft ran a couple of Thanksgivings ago. It was about the first generation Kinect. And it was essentially something that they were showing all the stuff you could do with Kinect. And it applies to this one, that someone's on like a console and it says the stuff that really interested us is what we didn't think about and what other people have been using it for. So someone out there has, or a whole bunch of people are looking at HoloLens and they're saying that would really be a very applicable use in XYZ scenario, and that none of us, Microsoft hasn't even thought of yet.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
How about back to present day?
Yeah. So present day, you want to kick some things off or you want me to start?
I can do one here.
Sure.
So you guys announced some of the Ignite sessions for the conference coming up in May.
Yeah.
And you also announced at the same time featured speakers. And I'll say that I am very humbled to be considered in that group. And according to that page on the Ignite site, I am just 5 people removed from Satya Nadella, which is, I think, wicked cool. But I don't think that has anything to do with the fact that my name starts with A and the names were all done with that and everything. No correlation to the fact that I'm also one person removed from the brilliant search mind of Agnes Molnar as well, who's actually 4 people removed from Satya. But
nice. Yeah, he called me and he said, like, hey, if you're going to put AC on the site, he's got to be close to me.
There you go. I like that. My mug is a little bit smaller than his, but that's okay.
Yeah, perfect. So the sessions, yeah, you can go up to ignite.microsoft.com and there's a session catalog. And I guess it's also worth pointing out that this is not the exhaustive list of sessions yet. This is the first cut of sessions. So there's definitely more to come. But it was really interesting for us because it was the first time we get to sort of put out some of the stuff that we're doing around development sessions for Office 365 and things like that. And we've got a few sessions that we're holding back due to embargo for naming and features and stuff like that. So stay tuned on more of that stuff coming out. But it'll all be, there'll be lots for enterprise developers, I think is it's fair to say. You know, the question you asked me the other day, or a couple of months ago, I should really say, about should devs go to Build or Ignite? I think it's getting, from my point of view, but I'm biased, it's sort of clearer than ever. It's going to be enterprise devs, go to Ignite. Devs that want to do device and web development, go to Build.
So from the person on the outside, it's not that clear. From the person on the outside, I'm still saying if you're a web dev doing anything, you need to be at Build. And Ignite is where you're going to see the more breadth of everything across all the products. To me, Build is more platform and Ignite is more product.
Like, say if you're a developer working at an enterprise, there's a whole lot of different development topics that wouldn't necessarily interest a pure web developer who's building internet sites, for example.
That's Ignite. So that's what I said. So that I think that if you're a platform person, then Build makes the most sense because you're doing web stuff and everything. But if you're looking for the breadth of product, then Ignite's the one you're looking for.
Yeah, definitely. And sort of the enterprise-y techie bits, like, you know, enterprise deployment topics and all those kinds of things. And how do you move code to the cloud from on-prem, whereas a lot of those other, you know, more pure web devs are not thinking about that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I'm doing a workshop, a pre-con workshop with Scott Hillier at Ignite. If you're interested in doing, being an Office 365 developer, we will show you what that means. We will show you how to do the client-side code, Office 365 APIs, the Azure AD model, the SharePoint app model. It's all there. So a full day with Scott and Andrew.
And if you are going to Build, the Office team and the Office 365 team, I should say, are going to be there in full force. We've got a huge presence planned. So there will be loads of 365 cloud content, all that sort of stuff. And we're going to have a huge area on the expo floor. And so come talk to us and all that stuff.
Yeah, we have to talk about our plans for what we're going to do around that with the podcast, because there'll be a ton of news, Azure news and 365 news and stuff that we need to cover there and get that. We need to get that stuff out there to everybody, because the very following week you got Ignite. So
yeah, it's going to be a busy time of the year.
Absolutely.
Hey, so switching gears slightly, Amazon have got some new stuff.
Do they ever?
Yeah. Understatement of the century. The first one I'll touch on is a thing called Amazon Workmail. So it's basically managed email. It is another email service in the cloud from Amazon. And you can do things like, you know, it's got the standard stuff you could get through a web browser. You got email and contacts and calendar and all that sort of stuff. But you can also connect Outlook to it as well. And they've got some mobile apps for iOS and Android as well. So you can connect that stuff up. Now, this is kind of like Exchange Online or like Google Apps or Gmail, the business offering, in that it's sort of targeted at corporates who've got a, you know, set of users in a corporate directory, and they want to provide them email for. So it's kind of nice that they can use that familiar sort of Outlook feel. They probably don't even know what the email service backing it is for some of the stuff it supports in Outlook, I guess. Or you can go through the, you know, the web browser as well when you're on the move if you want to. So I'm a little bit confused by this move by Amazon, to be honest. Like, I surely the world has enough cloud email providers, and there must be something driving this from Amazon that is not immediately obvious to me.
Well, to me, it looks like they're doing is, with this offering, it puts them on the same kind of position and footing that Google offers with Google Apps, both as a platform to build custom solutions and host them with Google in the cloud, and to have Mail, Calendar, all that stuff, just how Microsoft does with Azure and with Office 365. So it puts a lot of the parity in there.
I guess this complements Zocalo, you know, their other foray in this sort of business apps area.
They wouldn't have done something like this without some people asking for it. So I'm curious to see if there's things like anything in there about, you know, how to, you know, the challenges that we had around 365, around like geo-replication and around pinning it to a specific geography and all that kind of stuff. I haven't seen the details on that side of it, but...
One really interesting thing that stood out in the... We'll link to this in the show notes, but one thing that really stood out to me, being very topical, is it says You can integrate Amazon Workmail with your existing corporate directory, fair enough, because you want all your users in it.
Sure.
And control both the keys that encrypt your data and the location in which your data is stored.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very topical right now, given everything going on with like Sony hack and all that sort of stuff about customer control and security of their data. And so it reads like the customer has the keys to the data, and I guess the data at rest as well. So where you know, the underlying storage. So that was kind of interesting. That was one interesting thing that sort of stood out for me.
That stood out. And even on a more topical thing, something else that kind of stood out to me is that when you go look at the product and they show four screenshots available for you to go look at stuff. Two.
And the first one's Outlook.
The first one is Outlook.
Hey, and it's got a friend of ours in there too.
And it's got somebody at the very top that if you are close to the Microsoft Office team, you would recognize the name. So I'm looking at it going, oh, look, she used to be with Microsoft.
That's right. Team. That was a few years ago now. Yeah. We used to work together on the SharePoint team a number of years ago. But so she's obviously off and working on Workmail. Hey. I might have to hit her up and give her a grilling about that.
There you go. Yeah, that's cool. Hey, so Amazon also had another thing that they announced. This is more off of the Office side, more on the platform side. They have a new thing for their EC2 VMs called Auto Recovery.
Mm.
So essentially, you can set up some alerts or some quote-unquote alarms that look for things like if you're an EC2 instance, which is their IaaS offering. So if one of their virtual machines that you're using, if it goes down, like for loss in network connectivity, loss of system power, more specifically though, software issues on the host, then you can go through and have it like automatically recover to your applications over to another EC2 instance. And once they're all stood up, it blows away the old one and ta-da.
Wow, nice.
It's interesting.
Fancy.
Yeah, same kind of stuff we want in the cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Slightly different topic, not so cloudy, but interesting for the cloud was the strange that it actually made the news that that we're going to be releasing another version of SharePoint on-prem. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm surprised at the amount of press that got. Whenever you're kind of looking around like, haven't they been saying that for about a year now?
I can only take from that nobody trusted us.
Yeah. Well, hey, if Mary Jo said it, it's news.
There you go. Didn't she say that SharePoint Designer was free?
Oh God. It's really not SharePoint Designer. It's SharePointer, because the design part has been gone.
SharePointer. Okay, there you go.
It's the SharePointer.
So yeah, it shouldn't be news to anybody, but there's going to be another SharePoint on-premises release called SharePoint 2016. Which will mean that everybody running SharePoint on-premises or in virtual machines hosted somewhere or running in Azure or AWS will have another version to go to. And there's a blog on the evolution of SharePoint that we'll link to, and people can go have a read of that and get some ideas of what might be coming.
And global warming. No, sorry.
Yeah. Climate change, AC, climate change. We're beyond global warming.
My apologies. Okay. Hey, we are putting ourselves in a time box today. So I got a few Azure, like rapid fire GA announcements I'm not really announcing them. I'm kind of repeating the announcements that have already happened in the last 2 weeks. But
go for it.
So Microsoft has gone general availability on the Godzilla VMs, the GA VMs. Hey, check out, there's a guy.
Can't wait to spin one up just for fun.
Dude, I have a friend here in town. He runs the user group here in town. His name's Ben Stegging. And he has spent a ton of time looking at the speed of all the VMs and measuring different things. I would definitely take a look. I think it's, his blog URL. Just start look for Ben Stegging. We'll put a link to it in the show notes. But he's done a lot of research and shown a lot of metrics and a lot of graphs on the different VMs and stuff. He even fired up a G-Series VM and did some performance tests on it, both on the C drive and on the 6 terabyte SSD DNA drive, I think is what it was.
Zoinks.
Oh man, he did it. But believe it or not, he did all of these tests and he didn't blow his entire trial quota on his Azure subscription for the month.
God, that's pretty impressive.
I think he said he had like $2 left and 6 days remaining in his mobile thing, but he did still have it going. So yeah, we worked together yesterday or 2 days ago, and he was showing me the article. So I was like, he's going through and like proofing it and stuff, and I'm like, just ship it. Ship it. People will love this thing. So you need to get this out there.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I just feel like firing one up just for the hell of it.
He did it, man. It's pretty good.
Nice.
But so that's one announcement. Also, content protection for media services went GA, as well as the remote app capability for Azure. Those went GA as well. And an update to the tool called AZ Copy, which is basically helping you copy files from one blob to another one. So you don't have to go...
No intermediate step.
Yeah. If you've got a 2 gigabyte file, like if you've got a VHD that you're using for a VM and you want to copy it from one subscription to another one or make a backup of it, you don't have to download the 20 gigs and then re-upload the 20 gigs. This tool basically sends an instruction to Azure to say, hey, between your two data centers, make a copy of this file. Don't bring it to me because you're much faster.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Because it can take some time to copy many gigabytes around the tubes.
Yeah, definitely.
There's one other topic I think we'll save for another episode. It's called MS Microsoft Cosmos and a rumor that's going around from Mary Jo about Microsoft releasing a new thing called Cosmos, which we'll talk about in another episode because I want to go a little deeper on a little bit of that background and what we use it for in Office 365. So I'll come in on that in another episode.
I'm curious about what that is. I saw Mary Jo put it on there, and then I saw you put something on there. I was like, maybe get some insight here. But
just think about like telemetry and big data.
Oh man, I'm thinking space. I'm thinking like Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm thinking cool stuff.
Oh, I'm really sorry to disappoint you.
That's okay. Hey, before we wrap this up, we got to do some picks here. We haven't done this in a little while. So you got a...
Oh, yeah.
You got a pick?
I do. So this new car I bought, well, it's not new. It's old. It's about four years old. It's a 2011 model. And for those of you with iPhones or cars that have 30-pin connectors, you know, the old iPhone connector that's wide, like iPod connectors?
Yeah.
That were sort of the wide 30-pin ones. So we've got a few docks that sit around the house that are the 30-pin docks. Mm-hmm. And also my car comes with a 30-pin dock in the glove box. But it doesn't do Bluetooth streaming from your phone. And so I found a $76 dongle called Tune, then the number 2, and then Air. Tune 2 Air, WMA1000 it's called. And you plug it into the 30-pin connector on a dock or in your car, and it basically is a Bluetooth receiver. So then you can connect your phone to the dongle. You've got Bluetooth streaming and audio from your phone to your car or to any old 30-pin dock that you've got lying around the house that you've stopped using since you moved to the Lightning connector phone, or you've got one of those wonky like 30-pin to Lightning converter thingies. Best $76 I've invested recently to get streaming audio in my new car.
I had to buy one of those headphone jack to Bluetooth kind of things so that I could have Bluetooth in my car because my car doesn't have Bluetooth. Well, it has Bluetooth for my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
But only to speak through the phone, not for like doing music and stuff.
That's exactly what mine was as well.
Yeah.
Not for streaming audio.
Yeah.
But yeah, this will solve your problem.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. How about you?
I have two. I have one that's Devi related and one that is just, I'm just going to, just a sheer love of my life. Next to my wife and my kids. So there is a site. You know how you're going to Visual Studio or you go into an editor like Sublime Text or whatever, and every damn editor you opened up, you got to change your tab settings and your spaces. And should I do new line or should I do this? And should there be a space behind this? What character set do you want to use? All that stuff. You know, you have to deal with that every time you do it.
Yeah, totally.
Go to editorconfig.org. There is a, if you put a .editorconfig file in the root of your project, you can go in and you can specify some common settings like your indent style to be tab or spaces, your indent size, your tab width. Should the end of lines be treated as line feeds, carriage return, or carriage return line feeds? Your character set, trim trailing white spaces, insert a final new line, and a bunch more that they're adding. And there are plugins for every editor that you can think of. There are plugins for Visual Studio, for WebStorm, Sublime Text, for Vim, for GitHub, for Emacs, for Brackets, Atom, you name it. They're all in there. Stuff, you put it in your project, poof, it goes through and imports it all. I've tried it on Visual Studio, Notepad, Sublime, and WebStorm. Holy crap, it works exactly like it's supposed to.
That's cool. So it just sets up all these settings for you.
Pretty much, yeah. And the tools go through and they import it because each one of these different products has a way to go through and just share your settings, but they don't share them between each other. So
dang, that is really cool.
Isn't that cool?
Really cool. I like it.
So something else happened yesterday, though, that has gotten me go gaga crazy.
All right.
Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. 488?
488 GTB.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it is the Ferrari usually has two different kinds of cars going on at any one time. One of them is a supercar. that's the LaFerrari that's been going. That's like a 4-year model that they basically put out there. Of course, they won't sell any more of those because they're all sold out. But the 488 is the successor to the Ferrari 458 Italia. And oh my God, just go to Ferrari. It's on the homepage. The front end is inspired by the LaFerrari. The front end hood back to the center part of the car looks like it's inspired from a 458. The scoop air intakes for the engine on the side look like they're coming old school 308, 328 inspired. And the back of it, not only they have the nice Ferrari headlights, but they're the newer style where it's just a rim kind of a red coming around. But they've also pulled out the little rectangle box for the rain tires for when it's raining and stuff. And you hit the brakes on an F1 and that little bugger sitting at the bottom. As a friend of mine said on Facebook, this looks like Italian sex on wheels. And holy crap, does this thing look awesome.
Nice, nice. I'd buy it just for the brake light. That's awesome.
Everything about it. I looked at it, I was like going, this, the 458 was at the top of my list for years. I think that without even seeing a video of this thing, 488's right on top.
Hey, well, I can't say I'd turn it down if somebody gave me one. It looks hot.
Twin turbos with no delay when they kick in and no extra weight added to the 458.
Dang. That'll be fun to drive.
Yep. Give it a couple months. It'll be at the Geneva Auto Show. Give it about a year. Hope to God it's going to be at exoticracing.com out in Las Vegas. So
oh, yeah.
I will drop the bucks to go drive that one.
Nice, nice. Yep. Yeah, let's go do it.
Hell yeah. We're in.
All right. Thanks, AC. Well, it's been a good show. We've got a bunch of news, a bunch of things going on, and great to get back together for another show.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Sorry for the delay for everybody, but it's about to get conference season, so we should be seeing lots of news coming on.
Yeah, lots of goodies.
Lots to talk about.
All right, thanks.
Talk to you. Take care, buddy.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.